All right, so good morning, I guess it is.
Good morning.
My name is David Cootie. People call me Cootie Mac. It's a nickname, long story. But I'm happy to be here. I'm honored to be here. I did a little chatting with some folks before we started just to realize, because honestly, as you saw, Pastor Jeremy invited me here. He and I go way back. And so you know, he just kind of told me, hey, man, can you help me? Sure. Boom, I'm here. But I had no idea how big a thing is this, man. People from all over. This is amazing. I'm actually really honored and blessed. Bless you. Honored and blessed to be here today. So thank you all for coming through. I appreciate you all. Let's see. For starters. Let's see. I know we got some people here from outside Philly. Some people from Delaware. I'm trying to think. What's the furthest out? Who thinks they came out here from the furthest distance? Anybody?
Right down the street.
Where? Woodbridge. All right, cool. Yeah, my lady lives in Woodbridge. All right. Yeah, I got to make that pilgrimage every so often, man. But, you know, things we do, right? All right, so today we're going to talk about being physically fit for battle. And strength for the struggle was what I was told I needed to talk about. Now, I am a personal trainer and nutritionist. You know, I could talk all day about working out and how many push-ups you need to get your chest right, you know, what you need to eat or drink. You know, I walk it like I talk it. But, you know, what I really want us to do as men is really just in a safe space, talk about how we can be our best in an era, environment, society that really requires us to put on a mask a lot of time, you know. So I always like to start with scripture, and the scripture for today is, you have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued my foes beneath me. Just a reminder that in scripture, we're told, you know, we're told that we have, somebody has our back, you know, that we have fortification. We're not out here doing this on our own, by ourselves, even though it feels like that. And at times, as men, we tend to fly solo, and I'll talk a lot about that a little bit later. But, you know, I like to think about just how I wake up sometimes. I don't know how you all wake up, but sometimes you wake up and it just seems like you're already behind, right? You know, you wake up, like I woke up like that this morning, to be honest. I woke up, I had my alarm set for a certain time, and if I had that time ready, I'd be able to get up, maybe work out, take the dog out, walk, feed him, get my daughter ready for her two basketball games, shower, get dressed, come here and see y'all. I live out in Chevy Chase for anybody that's local, so I'm not close. And man, I was in bed, woke up on time, but didn't get up on time. Anybody been there? So I woke up on time, rolled back over, and saw the clock and was like, oh man. And that was me. Now, I'll say this. You know, I'm saved, but I'm not perfect. And before I was a fitness and wellness coach, I was in the music industry. And I don't know if anybody knows who that is beside me. True story, I was at my daughter's career day speaking yesterday. Flash that picture up. Let's talk about my industry days. I said, you know, she's fifth grade. I said, who knows who that is? Everybody rolls their hand. I was like, wow, tell me. Charles Barkley. One kid was just like, no, that's Biggie. And I was like, you have great parents. So anyway, I was in the music industry, and I was in it heavy. And, you know, those hours were nuts. And back then, even as a saved guy still, when I woke up, the first thing out of my mouth would be a swear word. Every morning, just, first thing out of my mouth. And I, after about like a year or two of it, to be honest, I was like, that's not the way to wake up, you know? But a lot of times we wake up with this, just the world swirling at us, man, bills, you know, what we got to do, how we got to get dressed, getting the kids ready, you know, everything's just, you know, and we're praying that cup of coffee hits before the boss does, you know, before your lady does before your kid does. You're like, man, I don't even drink coffee, but I drink green juice and same to the same effect. So I get it. Now, everybody knows the story of David versus Goliath, right? You know, everybody's heard that story. It's familiar. I like the story. I always like talking about David, reading about David, because I was named after my grandfather, whose name was David. So my middle name is David. And anytime I'm reading stuff about David, I really feel like I'm reading about me. You know, somebody who's beloved. Somebody who is a man after God's heart. Somebody who's got his flaws. Right? Not always the biggest guy. David. And the thing about David is, David didn't wake up like, you know what, I'm going to kill a giant today. That's not what happened. Y'all remember the story. They looked for everybody but David. And David, but the thing about David was, every day when they found him, he was just like, where's he at? Why? Because he prepared. He was fighting wolves and lions and bears. And he wasn't bragging about that. He was just speaking on his preparation. I'm prepared. I prepare in silence. I prepare in darkness. I prepare in the quiet. So when the time comes, when you call me, I'm ready. And that's what I want us to be able to do. I want us to be able to stay ready as men versus getting ready. There's a huge difference. Staying ready is completely different than getting ready. So, life doesn't always present you with the perfect scenarios to be ready. I'll consider this a safe space, even though I only have chatted with a few of you before we started. You know, I'm just going to trust it's a safe space with men. So I'll talk, you know, plainly. But, you know, life will present you with ups. Like, you know, this is 2019. 2019, as a wellness coach, I am peaking in popularity. In the D.C. area, I am called to speak in places. I'm on TV. I'm on the radio. I was on the Metro bus. Like, if I didn't see it myself, I wouldn't have believed it. I literally was walking to a client's place, and the bus went by, and I was like, that's me. I remember doing a photo shoot, but, you know, at this point, everything's just a whirlwind. But I am peaking in popularity. Like, somebody actually just saw me and was like, man, flagged the bus down and told me, you need to have a picture. Because I was really just looking at it like, wow. I was on Metro stations. And this is for the D.C. Jewish Community Center. Spoiler alert, I'm not Jewish. That's how influential I've become at that point. And in the midst of all this, what happens is my father has a healthcare incident. It almost takes him out. Actually, he literally did take him out. 365 days, my dad was hemmed up like that. Dropped down to probably about 95 pounds. 365 days, my dad was in critical care. Four separate times, I saw this man flatline. Saw him die. Now, he's fine now, thank God. I mean, thank God. But when that was happening, I could feel myself... You know, when you get like a hard-boiled egg and you crack the shell, but it doesn't actually break. That's the way my insides felt. 365 days. I thought I had things together. I thought things were going fine. And on one level, they were. And when I was on TV, they were. When I was telling everybody how to be their best, they were. But every single day, and anybody that knows the D.C. metropolitan area, so when he fell ill, he was in Olney, Maryland. I was living in Crofton, and I'm bouncing back and forth, hospital, and I'm training in Northwest D.C., in Northern Virginia, in person. This is pre-pandemic, in person, and I got my family, and I'm bouncing amongst those three, four paradigms every single day for 365 exact days. Ooh, man, I'm going to talk about this in a minute. The fourth time I found him critically ill, the scene that I came up on was one that required forensic cleaners to come behind. Just so you understand, forensic cleaners are the people who come, like when there's like a mass murder scene, people get butchered. Forensic cleaners are the ones who come and just sweep all that up and clean it and try to restore it. him in a home by himself. I found him. That's what was required to clean up the last mess that I found him in. I had already made peace with the fact that he wasn't going to be here anymore. But he's still here. And he is the strongest man of faith I know. So I am here because of him. That man is phenomenal. And I'm glad I can still speak of him in the present tense. It's a miracle. So, the thing is, when we're going through these things as men, we just like to go through these things. Like I told you how I felt on the inside while I was doing something on the outside. Heart disease is number one killer of men. Over 70% of men don't even sleep well. We wait way too long to see the doctor. The reason why my dad was so sick, honestly, was because he just hadn't been to the doctor. The reason why he's fine now is because I manage his health. So I take him to all his doctor visits. I keep track of all his medication, right? So I'll implore you all, just freebie, go to the doctor, at least annually, primary care physician. See your physician. It's like taking your car. If you could have I got a nice, decent, cute little ride out there, right? Nice little car, you know. God was good a couple years ago, man. Got me a little new ride. Now, if I had that nice ride, even under warranty, and just drove it without getting the oil change, without rotating tires, without refilling gas, without changing, it's gonna go bad, no matter how beautiful it looks on the outside. So if you feel great, cool. All the more reason to go. Because everything that happened to my dad was the check engine light came on. Same time the check engine light came on, washer fluid was low, gas tank was low, oil was burning, transmission was starting to go out, tires were balding, and we couldn't figure out what to stop first. It was just like, we want to keep this guy alive. But when we got to the root of the final issue, if he had just done routine maintenance, they'd have caught it, fixed it, and he just kept it going. Fortunately, we caught it. Miraculously, we just had great health care. Miraculously, he got sick right before COVID. And he got sick during COVID. What I can promise you, full throat, is that he'd be gone. Because literally, when he got discharged February 2020, the same rehab facility that he was in, literally the next week, that's when COVID happened, and they were boom, 35 people died. Because when people get sick and you're in these hospital environments, these germs are flying all over the place, even if they're trying their best to keep you clean. My dad caught something new at every stop that he went to, at every hospital. Think about this. On top of everything we had going on, we'd have, like, he caught E. coli or something. And we're like, how? He caught C. diff. How? Just because these germs were flying around all the time. So just a word of the wise. Preventive maintenance is everything. It's everything. Again, stay ready. Don't get ready. Stay healthy. Don't get healthy. So how do we do that? I'm glad you asked. What we don't want to do is run on empty. What we don't want to do is to be overextended. What we don't want to do is to wait till the e-light comes on to start. You know, think about it. You drive in your car. If you wait till the e-light, and as men, this is another man thing. Drive until you see the e-light come on. When I'm in a car with women, they'll see the car. They'll see the thing get to about a quarter, and they'll be like, we need to get gas. I'm like, we need to get gas? We still got about 90 miles. What are you talking about? It hasn't even started blinking yet. The light ain't even bright enough. What are you talking about? Now, I will say, that has gotten me stuck on Route 50 at least three times. It's a long way between exit 7 and exit 11. I learned that the hard way. You go a lot faster, you're going 75 miles an hour. But the reason why women pay attention to that stuff is because, you know, not even being stereotypical, but just being real. Like, a woman's like, yo, I gotta pay attention to putting myself in danger. You know, I can't be out here just stuck on the side of the road with, you know, wondering who's gonna come by and help me. So when I got a quarter left, I fill up. That's one of the biggest lessons I learned from a woman. You know, fill up at a quarter. You know, not when it's E and then some. I had a floating E, my Acura Legend. I still have an Acura Legend coupe, my favorite car in the world. It's got a floating E. It's got a floating needle. Like, that thing's not digital. So, you know, the thing it'll say E today. And all of a sudden, it leans the wrong way sometimes, you know? So, you got to pay attention Don't run on empty. In the Bible, it says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself may be disqualified. What I hear when I see that text, is, you got to walk in how you talk. I feel if you're in here, you have at least some level of exposure to faith in God and Christianity. Is that fair? Am I making a fair assumption? Like, you know, you weren't dragged here per se. You came here because you wanted to be here. And we're in a church, right? As a trainer, I'll say this. I am not the perfect physical specimen, but I'm in pretty good shape. Have been so most of my life, since I was about 8 years old. Been playing soccer since I was 8, and I'm 53 now. Okay. I would be lying if I was, I'd be disingenuous if I didn't say that I've gotten at least 65% of my clients just based off somebody looking at me. Man, what do you do? What do you work out? You in the fitness? Are you a trainer? Literally, the last three cards I got, just, you a trainer? Yup. And I keep them because of how I present. You know? I'm here not even to show, but this is me. You know? I walk it like I talk it. How much more us being of faith? How much more of us, like something as important as our destiny, the destiny of the people that we love, the destiny of people who rely on us, the destiny of people who are observing us. I mean, you know, like I said, I think it's a safe space. Man, lately, man, Christians suck. You know what I mean? Like, we just act like I'm embarrassed sometimes. It's some of the things that people who proclaim to be people of God, how they act, how they carry themselves. I always say the three things that I admire the most or that I'm the most into personally: God, fitness. Marriage is a different story, but you know, God fitness, marriage. Let's just say marriage for today, right? God, fitness, marriage. Those are the three things that I feel like the people who are part of those institutions are the worst representatives of. People don't want to do any of those three because of the way the people who are doing it present it. In observation, when somebody's looking at us as men of God, would they want to be us? You know what I mean? So it's just something to think about. Like I said, and again, I'm not saying you got to be perfect, you got to be, you know, supermodel or whatever, but just, you know, you being your best, people around you will notice it. Whatever positive change you make for yourself for the better, somebody around you is going to go, huh, what you been doing? You know? And that opens the door for all kinds of great, productive conversations. So again, walking it like you're talking, I'll tell you a true story. True story. When I first started training, so like I said, I've always been an athlete, so I've always looked athletic. Okay, and when I first got my first training job, so I worked in the music industry, made a hard pivot when my dad got sick. In an effort just to keep him around, learned about nutrition, and that is a journey that brought me to the point where now I'm just teaching everybody about it. And so I'm in this gym, I've got like a thermal shirt on. Abs are popping, tries are popping. I'm just kind of peacocking through the gym, and we were tasked to tell people about nutrition, and so we're talking to them about how to juice vegetables and how to eat healthy and all these things. But I've got a mean sweet tooth. I am, not was, am a sugar addict. Okay, am. Now I've got it in check. But when you're an addict, yes, sir.
I
was
disagreeing with you.
Hey, look, man, let me tell you. I make it look cool, but addiction ain't cute, man. Addiction ain't cute. And you know, people are like, addict, that's strong language. No, it's true if you think about it. You think about what an addict does. An addict will, you know, go out of their way to do things, sneak it sometimes, you know, not know when to stop. I've never met anybody, even if you love apples. Even if you love apples, if I laid out four apples in front of you right now and said, eat them all, you'd eat one, you'd be good. Because the foods that are good for us we're not addicted to. I can't stand pretzel. Waste of time to me. Soft ones, maybe. But them regular old crunchy pretzels, but we on a plane, and you haven't eaten, and I haven't juiced, and I'm on Southwest, and they put that thing of pretzels in front of me, and I'm like, man, I don't want that. No shit in here. Okay. Just crack it open. Yeah, I don't really want to eat it or nothing. Yeah. Eat one. Before you know it, it's done. Now I don't even like them. Whenever you eat something, word to the wise, whenever you eat something and you find yourself eating it in a compulsive manner, it's typically off program. Because when it's on program, if you're thirsty, you drink some water. Like this green juice right here. There's no fruit in it, no sugar. So it's cucumber, spinach, I think maybe some red and yellow bell peppers, right? It's great for you. Gives you great energy. You see how patiently I'm drinking that thing? Mm. If it was lemonade, you just seen an empty container when y'all walked in here. True story. That's how it works, right? So I got a sugar. So I got a sugar problem, right? And no problem. And so. And so I'm in the gym, back to that story. I had just started, so I knew what the rap was. I knew what to tell people about how to eat healthy, right? And one of the other trainers was training one of their clients, and he's laying into her about, you gotta eat right, gotta eat right, gotta eat right, because I guess she hadn't been eating right. And I came strolling by, I just came strolling by, and I walked through. She goes, oh, I bet he eats right. You're right. I bet he eats right. And in my mind, I was laughing because I had an apple pie. And I could not wait to get back home to. But here's where it hits the fan. So I had a client that same day. And the same thing. Her stats were going the wrong direction. I'm like, hey, look, you got to eat right. You got to juice. You got blah, blah, blah. And she was just like, yeah, you're right. She just asked this question. She said, so, but when you juice and she asked some question. I can't even remember what the question was, but what I remember about the question was, it was a question that's easy to answer if you actually did what you were talking about. Something like, oh, you know, how do you get the celery out of the dispenser? And I was like, huh? And she looked at me and she went, oh, you don't even do this, do you? And in that moment, I was like, I'm about to A, lose a client, so that's money, B, ruin her fitness progress. Mm. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I don't do this, but we're going to do this together. Moving forward. So you and I, as a matter of fact, all I need you to do is for 21 days. I'm going to do it. This was going into December, so I'm going to do it until the Super Bowl. Super Bowl, so I was like, you know, got like a, basically she had 21 days, I had like 42. But not walking it like you talk it can put you in jeopardy. It can put the people around you in jeopardy. It's not worth it. Now, again, sugar addict still, you know, put the right thing in front of me, fresh baked chocolate chip cookies, Snickers, gosh, Halloween, you know. But the beauty of it is when you juice vegetables, the beauty, how juicing vegetables works, this is a really key, there's one thing that you learned from me nutritionally today is this. So juicing vegetables, don't juice sugar. So don't juice fruit, eat your fruit. Fruit is fine to eat. When it comes to get a juicer, not a blender, not a smoothie maker, but a juicer, something that separates the pulp from the liquid, right? The easiest gateway entry to it is spinach and cucumber. If you like ginger, throw some fresh ginger in. To taste though, because it can get really intense really quick. Think about it. The first meal that you eat in the day is called what? Breakfast, right? Break fast. If you sleep adequately, if you sleep in the way you're supposed to, we already talked about how men don't sleep enough. If you sleep in the way you're supposed to, 5.5, 6 on the minimum, somewhere around 8, 9 on the top end. Think about it, you haven't had anything to eat or drink for 5 to 9 hours. So when you hear everybody talking about intermittent fasting, if you actually sleep properly, you're already intermittent fasting. That's why the first meal of the day is called what?
Breakfast.
Breakfast. The first thing you give your body for energy in the morning, aside from water, will be what your body will chase for energy throughout the course of the day. That's why Starbucks is in business. That's why you can have a Starbucks in the Target, in the Safeway, and on the block in the same shopping center. And nobody's losing money.
On the block.
Yeah, on the block. Because they're slinging caffeine and sugar. And first thing in the morning, you boom, grab a caffeine and sugar dose. And what's your body doing about 2 o'clock? That's why they even got 5-hour energy. Because they already know. You get this. And in that 5-hour energy, they say, oh, we got vitamins and all this stuff. You know what they got in there? Caffeine. So what do? 5 hours later, I need more. But you juice, and what happens is your body is chasing nutrition, the actual thing that your body needs for fuel. Your body needs nutrition. Your body needs vitamins, minerals, enzymes, proteins, antioxidants. That's what your body needs. So when your body gets it, your body's like, cool. And what'll happen is you'll open up the fridge. You ever open up the refrigerator or the cupboard swearing that you're hungry and there's food in it? And you're like, man, there's nothing to eat in here. You ever done that? It sounds crazy when I say it, but you've done it. Everybody's done it. There ain't nothing to eat in here. Next time you feel that way, go back and look at what you saw. What you're not going to see is sugar. You'll see the kale that you thought you were going to juice, the salad you thought you were going to make, even some apples, but you don't see ready-made sugar. You might see water. If you see lemonade, you're going to grab it before the water. And even if it's fruit, you could have strawberries, blueberries, diced pineapples, and grapes. You open that refrigerator, you're going to grab the diced pineapples. Why? Because they got more sugar. So don't beat yourself up. Don't think it's a willpower thing when your nutrition's off. It's actually biological. By the time that E light is blinking hard, your body's like, man, just give me something that I can translate to energy now. And that's sugar. So even if it's healthy, you're going to take the sugar route. You're going to grab the orange juice before the water. You're going to grab the pineapple before the blueberries. You're definitely going to grab them before the carrots. But if it's carrots and celery, you're going to grab the carrots. Because the carrots have sugar. So again, juicing vegetables. That's one of the, if you can get that habit down, juice one time within 90 minutes of waking up before you've had anything other than water, 10 ounces minimum. Juice another time throughout the course of the day. And watch how everything, the rest of the stuff in your life will just cravings knocked out. Bad decisions. You might even say, okay, man, I'm drinking this here, and then you know, lunchtime they'll have Jimmy John's and all this kind of stuff. And I might say, oh, let me go get some. I'll take a bite of that sandwich, and as soon as I've had enough, I'll be done. I won't just peel it off. But if I just save it up and say, okay, well, I know they got Jimmy John's for lunch, so I'm not gonna eat anything until then, so I might eat two sandwiches. And some chips. All right? Yes, sir.
If you don't have a juicer over here that's saying I'm buying a juicer, is there anything in the store you recommend?
That is a phenomenal question. He asked, if you don't have a juicer or the means to buy a juicer, is there something you can get in the store? Here's the key. Everybody's in the business of making money. They mean well. Because on the scale of healthiness, there's like really healthy, and then there's like kind of healthy, and then there's like absolute junk. Everything you see that's in the store that's green is not healthy. They might say, boom, superfood green juice with celery and blah, blah, blah. Flip it over, look at the back. Know that the ingredients in any packaged item in the store are listed in order of appearance. So the first thing you see is what it's got the most of. And what you'll see in that superfood green juice, celery, kale juice, when you flip it over, it'll be like apple juice, pineapple juice. Sugar, right? Pear juice, sugar. And because the green is, the chlorophyll filters through, the juice is going to be green, but then it will be some spinach. So look for the things in the first four ingredients. You might not be able to get the perfect juice in the store, although some are getting better. Great question. But the first four ingredients, if they are all vegetables, then you're good. Another way to look at it is if it's 10 grams of sugar or less per serving, you're good. Some of these juices that are out there, I'm going to answer your question. Some of these juices that are out there will have like 30, 40 grams of sugar in them. That's more than a Sprite or a Coca-Cola. Yeah, orange juice, about 40 grams of sugar. Orange juice. Yeah. Orange juice is not a health food. The vitamin C that's in it, they put it in there. It's not just inherited because they pasteurize it. So they've already cooked it out. Same thing with the vitamin D in milk. They've cooked it out to try to get the bugs out, and then they just add some vitamin D later, which is water soluble, so as soon as you go to the bathroom and take a leak, it's gone. You ever taken a multivitamin and gone to the bathroom, it's like fluorescent? That's your vitamin. That's your vitamin. But you drink this stuff, it stays in your system, hits your bloodstream immediately. 10, 15 minutes. It's the fastest way next to an IV to get nutrition into your bloodstream. All right? You got a question, bud?
Yeah, I was wondering, like, so on the label, right, it has sugars, but isn't that just the added sugar?
Yes, thank you.
So, I mean, if you see, like, all these fruit juices, that's not, the label's not taking account of the sugar.
Man, these labels are so tricky. So for instance, sugar alcohols, they don't list. So sorbitol, xylitol, like sugar-free gum. Man, you can taste sugar when it's in there, man. You know what I mean? That's the one thing. If you can taste sweet, there's sugar in it. So it says 0% sugar. You can taste it. It tastes just like a soda. Yeah, there's sugar in there, man. So, but what it is table sugar. It's not processed, refined table sugar. It's not an added sugar like you said. And yes, sir.
What's your take on xylitol?
So here's the thing. Your body will respond to sugar like it's sugar. Period. It won't raise your glycemic index the same way. So if you're a diabetic, it won't necessarily nefariously impact you, just like agave nectar, for instance. But let me back up. Every disease known to Western civilization on a microbial level, you hear people talk about probiotics and prebiotics and all that kind of stuff. On a microbial level, every disease feeds off of sugar. So if you want to eliminate most of the problems, eliminate your processed sugar intake. This is where this is so key, because this juicing will actually literally just help you just curb your sugar addiction. And so when you taste things, you actually taste things the way they actually taste. You'll see how sweet that lemonade actually is. You know, you'll realize, you'll take a bite of my beloved apple pie, right? You'll take a bite of it, and you'll be like, this is good. Matter of fact, the next time you eat something sweet, if it's today, pay attention when you eat it. Take the first bite, whatever it is. Let's say it's a chocolate chip cookie. First bite, you're going to taste vanilla, butter, chocolate. You're going to taste all those notes. Second bite, you're going to taste cookie. Third bite, you're going to be like, sweet. By the fourth bite, pay attention to what you're actually tasting, and you will notice that you can't even taste it anymore. At that point, your body's had enough. Mm-hmm. But because we're addicted, you know what's going to happen? I can't just eat half a cookie. I can't just eat half. You know, I can't eat just half a can of Pringles. This is, you know, let me get it to the half. And then it's like, I told you I'm an addict, man. I'm an addict. I know this stuff. I can't eat half, right? Oh, well, now we had a third. Well, a third would be good for tomorrow.
You walk away.
There's one more. They'd be like, man, it's these crumbs. Who's going to lick these crumbs anyway? Right? That's how we do it. Unless you know you've eaten a whole can of Pringles. I've never, ever, ever, ever seen somebody do that with broccoli. Not once. Even if you love broccoli. Man, I just can't stop eating this broccoli, bro. And just one more. No, unless it's got some butter, salt, bacon wrapped broccoli, cheese. Yeah, you can do it that way. Just plain old broccoli. You're like, go next thing you go to like those. This is hilarious. When you go to these potluck lunches and dinners, the veggie tray just sits there. But you know what's funny? Talking about walking it like you talk it. I'm always the one that holds up the line because I stopped at the veggie. I stopped at the veggie. I'm like, more for me. So I'm piling it up. Cats looking like, man, what's this? What's going on? I'm so sorry. And as soon as I do it and somebody sees me doing it, it happens every single time. Next person goes, yeah, man, you know, I could eat some vegetables too. Let me get those going. Then the next person's kind of like, Oh, no wonder you, let me get some of that too. And after me, the vegetables gone. All you gotta do is walk it like you talk it. And Christianity is the same way. Walk it like you talk it. You'll be amazed at how many people are impressed by your character. You'll be amazed at how many people can see you when you're being you, when you're being the man that God designed you to be. So being fit is a part of that. Because when you're your best, then you can be your best. If you got a rock in your shoe, you're going to be a jerk to everybody. How you operate on the inside affects how you operate on the outside. So Christianity, like I said, Christianity doesn't mean perfection. You know, I'll slip up too, you know. I'm talking to you about this, got this juice and everything, but you see, I know the stories. Because I've done it. But
think about what the word Christian means.
Christian means to be like
Christ. Doesn't mean be Christ. God knows who he created. He knows that we're not all right. That's why he sent Christ in the first place. He's like, man, let me clean this up. Right? Christianity means to be like Christ. And that perfect pursuit of being Christ-like, that's what God wants from us. That's what God wants from us. And on all levels, he wants us to represent ourselves, our vessels, our temples properly. Now, I have it happen all the time. I have a client comes to me brand new, like, I gotta lose 50 pounds, Cody. They want to get in and just hit the wall. Man, you know, I'm gonna run 2 miles, I'm gonna run, you know, a marathon and do this and do that and do this and do that and do this, do that. And I don't know if ever any of you ever done something like I don't know if your school maybe has like a fun run or to raise money, or you say I'm gonna sign up for a 5K or a half marathon, and you do it. You haven't been doing any running or exercising before, right? And you do it. And afterwards, the next couple of days, you feel wrecked, right? But you know that you did, right? Your legs are sore, lungs are burning. Now, you don't do it again. Did your body change overnight? Did you start looking like a superhero? No. But as you just said, you know, I'm just going to run 10 minutes every other day for the next 6 months. You know what you would see? Your body start to change. Consistency is always better than intensity. Remember that. And it's the same thing with our spiritual lives, man. You know, we get shot to cannon when we first get saved, and we go, all that stuff, getting on everybody's nerves, you know, Bible something. Then it cools down. But if every day you just walk it with grace, like a man of God, every day you just talk it with grace, you know, you take your time and move through situations when everybody else is losing their mind. So I was going to ask you, man, why are you so cool? Glad you asked. Right? Consistency will always be greater than intensity. Christianity doesn't equal perfection. So the way that we can make it through these battles, and this era is full of them. It's full of them. You know, one thing I was telling somebody yesterday, and I just realized, I said, you know, like I said, I'm 53. So the longer I'm blessed to live, I just turned 53 actually, the longer I'm blessed to live, the more I can reflect and go, wow, like, my life has been like a bubble in terms of the way society has been in this country. I'm an immigrant, by the way. I was born in the UK. My father's Nigerian. My mother's of Nigerian descent, British. I was born in Scotland, moved to London, came here with a British accent at 5, lost it at 7. That was great.
Yeah. Oh, American kids are cruel, man. American kids are cruel. Okay. I was just like, yo, I'm either going to fight every day or I'm going to talk like these kids. That was like the binary decision that I had to make at age 7. And I opted to sound like a kid from D.C. So, it's an aberration of sorts. And I'm not even getting political, but what I am saying is that today we live in a world that just isn't, that is rapidly becoming a world that is just not the world that I grew up in. Yeah. You know, we're hit with a lot of stuff now. I was talking to my daughter. So my daughter is 11. And she goes, she says, Dad, we were just in the car. She says, so you mean to tell me, like, when you would be in the car with your mom or your dad, and y'all were just going somewhere, you would just be going there? I said, what do you mean? She was like, you didn't text anybody, call anybody, you weren't listening to it. I was like, yeah, you know, so that was it. So I ride my bike to my friend's house. That was just 20 minutes on the bike. Pre-Walkman, even if I had a disc man, that thing would skip all the time. I'm just going to get where I'm going. So for 20 minutes, it was just me, right, battery's dying.
So it was just be me and the road. So I got there. I said, yeah, you know, when people would call, I'm dating myself, but I have no problem with it. Pre-voicemail. Pre-answering machine. You don't even know what that is. Pre-call waiting.
Cordless phone.
Pre-cordless phone. If somebody called and you were on the phone, it would just ring busy to whoever was calling. They didn't get you. That was it. That was it. And God, I'm telling you this, man, God forbid you be on the phone so long that your parents had to break the line, had the operator break the line. Ooh, you were in trouble. Trouble. You know what I mean? Everything moved a lot slower. There's a lot more space to the day. I think about some of the things that I'm doing. You know, of course we're not supposed to be texting and driving. But y'all stop at a light. I'll stop at the light, check a little whatever, and I can check my voicemail, my car is talking to me, go online, reply to a message, all before the light turns green. That's like 5, 6, 7 functions. Even this phone, man, this phone is more powerful than this computer. This phone can film in 8K, take pictures, high resolution, make a call, send an email, send a text, have my notes, have a timer, all at the same time. I am one to believe that human beings are not designed to have that much going on. Yeah. So we're naturally overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. We're unnatural.
We're not machines.
We're not machines. I'm not somebody who's afraid of tech, but like AI, when you think about AI, like AI is indefatigable. It's a big word, I was UVA. It doesn't get tired, it doesn't know emotion, yet. Yet, we can talk about that.
We're in trouble.
Yeah, it just goes. So even Einstein got tired. AI just be like, keep giving me more stuff, keep giving me more stuff, and just keep kicking your stuff out. Keep kicking stuff out. That's moving at a rate that we are not designed. So if you feel overwhelmed, even if you don't think you're doing too much, it's probably natural. It's a natural reason. So what we got to do is find ways to pause. We got to find ways to slow down. So the super moves that will help you be your best. I talked about it already. Fuel. Juicing is if it's one nutritional piece of advice you get from me, if you master juicing, you'll master the rest. Promise you.
What about being a vegan? What about doing this? We can talk about that later.
Just master juicing. Number two, move. You know, do something. 2 minutes of something. Y'all just stand. Matter of fact, real quick, everybody just stand up. And then sit back down. If you just did that, honestly, if you just did that, for 60 to 120 seconds a day, you're helping yourself. You're helping your knees. You're helping your heart. You're helping your legs. You're burning fat. You're building strength. 2 minutes. Everybody's got 2 minutes. And once you get, and anybody that knows they're good knows how to be great. So what happens is you do 2 minutes. You say, okay, let me do it for 3 minutes. Let me do 5 minutes. Don't rush. Consistency, remember? Just do it. And then eventually you'll be like, man, I got 5 minutes, I got 10. Let me go for this job. Let me do this. And you start to build from there. But move. Rest. We talked about it. Sleep. You know, this church is massive, right? If the cleaning crew tried to come in and clean while we were in here, it'd be futile. If they try to clean during service, it'd be a waste of time. But when everybody leaves and we lock up and everything, and that's when they come through and clean and do their best and place a spick and span so we can have events like this, right? Your brain works the same way. Your nervous system works the same way. Your hormonal system will purify itself overnight if you give it enough time by sleeping long enough. Okay? It's called the glymphatic system. And what happens is when you get into deep sleep, it's like my laptop keeps screaming at me because I always leave windows open. I don't save and exit. And after a while, it'll be like, yo, memory's running low because, you know, and it starts to malfunction. But as soon as I start saving and exiting and clicking out of its things and then turn it off, let it sit, turn it back on, it's working just like new. Our bodies are that much more important than the laptop. We need fuel. We need to move. We need to rest. And then most significantly, we need to pray and we need to plan. I'll remind you, David wasn't ready for Goliath, who everybody was scared of. All the biggest, baddest soldiers were just like, man, we're about to lose. That's how they came. Remember, if you know the story, they were like, man, you seen them? Man, they got whatever, Shaq, Jokic, I'm out of here. Little Allen Iverson was like, nah, B, I got this. I fight bears and lions. What are you talking about? Pray and plan. One thing that I realized that I had not been doing enough lately is pray. My dad would always tell me, if you're worried, that means you're not praying enough. Because prayer is always more important than worry. Not just customary, oh God, thank you for da da da, but like speaking specifically to a situation.
Yeah.
Speaking specifically to what's concerning you. Because if you find yourself licking a problem by yourself, you lick the problem by yourself. I talk about my dad. He's a lie. That is nothing but God. Everybody who came, when people see him now, it's like they've seen a ghost. They cannot believe it. Everybody, she's done. But you know who didn't think he was done? My dad. He'd be like, man, these pills could be chalk. God's got them. I'll take them because you told me to, but God's got them. And I'd be like, dude, you're making this really hard. You know what's crazy about it now? We don't argue, but we might have disagreements. And he always has this ace in the hole. Every time I'm like, Dad, look, he's like, look, only one of us has talked to God 4 times. And I'm like, you got it, man. He's like, you might want me praying for you, is what my dad would tell me. You might want me praying for you, bro. Because I've seen some things. Can't lie. When you see things happen for you that you can't explain how they went for you, that's God. So pray and plan. You'd be amazed how just, it doesn't have to be a super elaborate prayer, just a specific prayer. Yo. And if you feel guilty because you just feel like you're just asking all the time, all right, thank God for something. I spend every day, every morning, thanking God for something. And at the end of the night, I just think, you know, what was a win that I had today? Thank you for that too, Lord. Helps me sleep better. And when I wake up, I got direction. So,
Christian.
Yes, sir.
Number 4, you talked about the pray part, but I missed the plan part.
Okay. Thank you. So, a lot of times people have trouble sleeping. Thank you for that. That's a great question. I have something I call the BYBD Bedtime Blueprint. I'm going to explain it really quickly. I can go into depth about it and write your book about it, but the simplest part about it is like this. There's a 5-minute habit that if you master this 5-minute habit every night, 5 minutes before you go to bed as a routine, you will sleep better than you ever slept before, naturally. You will be more productive than you've ever been before. First thing I want you to do is pat yourself on the back for something that you did today. What's something I did today? What's a win today? Maybe it's listening to Cootie talk. I don't know. Maybe it's coming to maybe it's waking up. Maybe it's something even more intimate to you. But take a minute and just say, we did that. Secondly, I want you to think about what your win will be tomorrow. What's the one thing that before you go to bed tomorrow, if you don't get it done, you'll be smacking yourself on the floor. You ever had like a day that you thought was productive, and then right before you go to bed, you go like, oh man, I forgot to do the, right? Whatever that thing is, prioritize that as your number one thing and make sure you get it done the next day. What that helps you do, sir, is it helps you have a North Star for what you got to get done the next day. And it centers your attention on that. And when that happens, you start to close and exit those open folders that I was talking about in your body's laptop, right? You actually can be like, okay, I know what I got to do tomorrow. And when you do it, you already know what you're going to be patting yourself for in the back when you go to sleep. And last but not least, what I want you to do, the third thing, is I want you to just think of something that makes you smile. It could be anything. It could be a childhood memory. It could be your stupid pet. It could be your kids. It could be a joke. It could be anything. Okay? So, celebrate your win for the day. Figure out what your win for the next day is going to be. Plan. And then think about something that makes you smile. Think about it. When's the last time you went to bed, like, actually smile? But when you do that, it just allows you to let go of everything. And once you let go of everything, your brain can shut down. You can go to sleep. The lymphatic system kicks in. The clean crew comes through. And you're spick and span in the morning. All right? Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Juice, breakfast and lunch.
Oh, thank you for that. So, excellent question, too. The juicing, think of it as a multivitamin more so than as a meal replacement. I do not do starvation. I don't recommend starvation. So what I'll do is, I'll say,
I can still hit it.
You can, but here's the wild part. If you're juicing consistently, you might find yourself not as pressed to do steak and ham, unless you actually need the protein. Okay? So juice within 90 minutes of waking up, 10 ounces minimum, right? Juice another time throughout the course of the day. I like I did my first juice, and I like to carry my second juice like Linus's blanket. I just have it with me all the time. So I think I'm hungry, take a sip of this, and it'll tell me if I'm hungry or not. I'll be like, yeah, I'm cool. All right? So you're not replacing meals with it. Because think about it. When you get a vitamin, it's called a supplement. Anybody want to tell me what supplement means?
Additive. Maybe it adds to whatever you're...
Right. Like what the health world believes. I'm a natural person. I'm not about, pharmaceutical. Although they have their place. What the health world believes is that you're not going to do what you're supposed to do. You're not going to do what you're supposed to do, so, you know what, we're going to give you this thing. You'll eat it if you want, so we're going to give you this. But you can. And when you do, you don't need it. So this is like a natural supplement. This fills all the nutritional gaps for whatever you're not eating. Yes, sir.
So you juice a gallon at a time, so you got 2 days, or you do it once in the morning for just that day?
You know, awesome question. I like to have a container, like a one of those water bottles that's like insulated and screws shut. It's aluminum, so the light can't get through. Those can hold your juices for about 3 to 4 days, right? I like to juice like maybe every, it only takes about 10 minutes to be honest, soup to nuts. So I like to juice like every 2 to 3 days. Yeah. If you juice a gallon, what I would suggest is freezing. Freezing, throw them in the freezer, because they'll hold. But if you juice a gallon, put it in the fridge, it'll go bad. Yes, sir.
What do you use?
Great question. Cucumber and spinach is a great way to start. The least offensive in terms of taste. Like this is bland, you know what I mean? If you do too many intense tastes, you might be like, I ain't gonna do this, right? But if you do cucumber and spinach, it's milk tastes like more than that. If you like if the flavor still is a thing for you, if you like ginger, put some fresh ginger in there. It'll just taste like ginger. Mint leaves are good to add as well. Red, yellow, orange bell peppers add a little bit of sweetness, as do carrots. Beets can be earthy. Celery really tastes like celery, kind of the difference between an orange and an orange peel. Celery versus juicing celery, it's just doable, but if you're about to taste the celery, you won't be about to taste that juice. We want to make sure that you always have. I like cucumber because it doesn't really taste like anything, and it gives you a lot. Leaves don't give you as much, but they give you a lot of nutrition. Spinach is the most bland leaf. Like, you can take a leaf of spinach and eat it and just chew it, and you don't even taste anything. You know what I mean? It's just a leaf. But if you eat some kale, you might be like, it's a little bitter. Kale has more nutrition, though, but spinach has plenty. Great question. Broccoli, for me, I mean, you can do it if you want, but like for me, don't nobody want to be around me when I juice broccoli. I'll tell you that right now. Nobody.
God.
Yes, sir.
You said not as a replacement, mm-hmm. right? But so that means you can have like for your breakfast, like say you do like sausage and eggs, and you can have the juice.
Yeah, but you'll find you'll start to eat less sausage when you you'll do eggs. But right. You'll find yourself eating less sausage.
Okay, so other than you're going to still eat.
Yeah, you'll still eat. Yes, so you want to eat like every 3 hours or so, eat something. Not necessarily like a fork and knife napkin meal, but yeah. You want to eat something about every 3 hours. Every vegetable is pretty much good for you. Most fruits are. Some fruits have more sugar than others, but you'll be able to discern that later. But we can talk about that. I was about to say, like I said, I get paid to talk to consult people about nutrition, but because you're here, mm-hmm. if you set an appointment on this via this link, and I think that link is the same link on that poster, I'll give you one consultation free, and I promise you, whatever your biggest question is, we'll answer it, we'll get to the bottom of it, and I'll get you straight. Like, just brother to brother, mm-hmm. all right? So with the juicing, you'd want to juice 2 times a day, and I would even challenge you to do this. If you just do the juicing part, I don't even want to talk about what you can't do. because we can get to that later, like, ah, don't eat this, don't eat that. I started to go into that with the sausage. Just eat what you want to eat, but make sure you juice within 90 minutes of waking up, 10 ounces, and then juice again, second time in the day. Commit to that habit, and just watch how everything else just starts to kind of fall off. Like, you just know, it's like, oh, man, I had clients, like, oh, I'm not giving up my coffee. Okay, cool, don't give up your coffee. But juice twice a day. 3 weeks later, they're like, I haven't had espresso in like 2 weeks. I'm like, I don't know. Where's the women? I don't know.
Lost 5 pounds.
I've been losing 2 pounds a week. Go figure. Man, I went to Chipotle and I didn't end up getting the green bowl this time. Cool. You know, the good habits will supersede the bad ones, and that's life. That's faith. The good habits. Just invest in the good habits. Don't worry about what you can't do. Don't worry about what I can't go here anymore. I can't see them anymore. Da, da. Just do what you're supposed to do. And watch how your life just falls in line. You know? Make it easy. So, that's me on Instagram. If anybody's on social media, if you wanted to, if you feel like following me, you can do that as well. Anybody got any other questions? I'm here till they kick us out.
Do you have any, other resources? Like a website or something where...
Yeah. So let's see. Let's try to go to the... Yeah, if you go to bybdfitness.com, that's my website. It's a whole bunch of stuff there, a little bit more about me and how I operate and, you know, where I've been, what I do. Like I said, you've got me, so if you just set a little quick appointment with me just to chat, we can make it quick. It'd be 6 minutes, to be honest. But it'll just give you something. Like, I promise, every conversation you have with me, I will give you something that makes you better than when you walk into that conversation. That's my work. That's what I do. Okay. So, and
so,
I'm trying.
So what do you train people at?
I train people virtually now. So, like, when the pandemic hit, it just, everything shut down, and I just figured out quickly how to train people either on Zoom or FaceTime, and that actually helped me expand. Now, before, like, I'd do a TV appearance, and, you know, people would see me from all over and be like, oh, man, I wish I could train with you, but I live in Colorado, or da-da-da-da, and I'd get, like, a new Instagram follower, that'd be it. And then now it's like, well, we can make the clocks align, we'll be good. And I started, and then that quickly went from being national to being international. I started training people in Ireland, Scotland, Dubai, that people just find me online. And so, and it also allowed me to start to slow down and do a lot less. Because before, like I told you, my dad was sick. I was bouncing all over the place. I had to get up at like 2:30, 3 in the morning just to be able to set up my whole day. And it would end about 11:30, 12, which meant I was sleeping for 2.5, 3 hours. This is with a family. And when the pandemic hit, as unfortunate as it was for some people, for me, it wound up being something that just actually helped give me space. And all of a sudden, I realized some of the stuff that I was preaching, like sleep, that's why I'm such an expert on it now, because I know it now. Like, I knew it, like, academically, but now I know it. So, I just ain't giving that back. And that's also given me the opportunity to be able to do things like this, prepare these protocols, to be able to speak to you all, because now I have time. So... I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, so I do playlists. Like I said, I work in the music business. I love music. Love music. So I have a soundtrack, a playlist that goes with this stuff. It's music that you can either chill out to, relax to, get motivated to, persevere through, you know, and pull it up. It's on Spotify. If you have a problem, like, finding it, you can figure out how I can get it to you. And it's just some songs that I've curated that just, you know, keep you in this mode, you know, keep you building towards success, keep you ready as opposed to getting ready. And if nobody has any other questions, I'm done.
Thank you. You go back to the episode.